Well, morning glory and praise the Lord. God is worthy, worthy to be praised. This is Leah McCray. You are listening to Walk It Out, where we transform our body as well as our mind. I am on my treadmill. What are you doing this morning? Are you heading out for a walk? Are you doing yoga, Pilates? Are you also on a treadmill? Whatever it is, you are transforming your body. You are taking care of that temple the way God has instructed us. Amen. And you're also in the Word. We are making the Word important. We are making His Word, studying Him, getting to know His plan for our life. We are making that a top priority. And God is blessing that. God is blessing that this time together in the Word, or whenever you take time to set aside time to be with Him in His presence and study His Word. There is a blessing on that. You got to believe that. And I'm sure you do. That's why you're with me today. So as always, let's open up in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for this time together. First, we ask for forgiveness of sin, Lord. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that has washed us clean and has made us righteous. Not anything that we've done, just receiving Jesus as our Lord and Savior, receiving the blood. And Father, we just thank you for it. Bless this time together in your Word, Lord God. Let it be fruitful. Give us revelation. Oh, hallelujah. Give us a prophetic word today, Lord God. Help us to see what you see. Help us to speak what you speak. We love you, Father. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, we are in Genesis 46. Hallelujah. Okay, so let's start with verse 1. And I don't know how far we're going to get today, but let's just go. Amen. All right. So Jacob set out for Egypt with all his possessions. And when he came to Beersheba, he offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. During the night, God spoke to him in a vision. "Jacob, Jacob," he called. "Here I am," Jacob replied. "I am God, the God of your father." The voice said, "Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for there I will make your family into a great nation. I will go with you down to Egypt, and I will bring you back again. You will die in Egypt, but Joseph will be with you close to your eyes." So Jacob left Beersheba, and his sons took him to Egypt. They carried him and their little ones and their wives in the wagons Pharaoh had provided for them. They also took all their livestock and all their personal belongings they had acquired in the land of Canaan. So Jacob and his entire family went to Egypt, sons and grandsons, daughters and granddaughters, all his descendants. I think it's so beautiful how God spoke to him and let him know, you know, you can go ahead and do this whenever you're going to make a, whenever you're at a crossroad, or you need to make a big decision, or you're you know, just gonna pack up and move to someplace different. Whenever you're setting out to do something, you know, something big, you don't have to be afraid. Ask God, you know, ask God to lead you and guide you, or expect Him to give you a word. Expect Him to give you peace in a situation, and you follow peace. You know, when you have to make a decision, when you're not sure what to do in a situation, pray about it and then follow peace. Follow the decision that gives you peace. All right? Because your God loves you and He wants you to be at peace. And I love this too, because He told Jacob, He told him, you know, what was going to happen. And we know that in Scripture, it says that we have the mind of Christ. You know, so the Lord will tell us things. The Lord will reveal things to us if we listen. You know, if we seek Him, if we listen for Him. And I'm thinking about this as I'm talking. It says first that Jacob went and he built an altar. You know, he made a sacrifice. He made a sacrifice to God. So he did something. He honored God, and then he respected, he expected to receive a word from God. So I think that's also instructive. Sacrifice. Prayer is a sacrifice. Reading his word, doing what we're doing right now is a sacrifice. You know, it's dying to self. It's saying, I'm going to go make something to eat right now or sit down and watch TV right now. I am going to be in the Word of God. I'm going to make His Word a priority. I'm going to seek His face. That's a sacrifice. Giving is a sacrifice. Anything that you do that your flesh doesn't want to do or that doesn't glorify flesh, that's a sacrifice. And you can expect, you know, just what I said at the beginning. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Expect a blessing. That's exactly what Jacob did. He sacrificed to his God, and God blessed that. So, wow, we already got some lessons just in the first couple verses. Hallelujah. Okay, so Jacob left Beersheba, and his sons took him. Oh, we already read that. They took everything with them that he acquired in the land of Canaan. Okay, let's jump down to verse 8. These are the names of the descendants of Israel, the sons of Jacob who went to Egypt. Reuben was Jacob's oldest son. The sons of Reuben were Hanok, Palu, Hezron, and Cami. The sons of Simeon were Jemuel, Jamin, Chad, Jachin, Zohar, and Shaul. Shaul's mother was a Canaanite woman. The sons of Levi were Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. The sons of Judah were Onan, Shelah, Perez, and Zerah, though and Onan had died in the land of Canaan. The sons of Perez were Hezron and Hamul. The sons of Issachar were Tola, Puah, Jashub, and Shimron. The sons of Zebulun were Sered, Elon, and Jaleel. These were the sons of Leah and Jacob, who were born in Padan Aram, in addition to their daughter Dinah. The number of Jacob's descendants, male and female, through Leah was 33. The sons of Gad were Zephron, Haggi, Shuni, Eshan, Eri, Arodi, and Ariel. The sons of Asher were Imnah, Ishva, Ishvi, and Beriah. Their sister was Sarah. Beriah's sons were Heber and Machiel. These were the sons of Zippah, the servant given to Leah by her father, Laban. The number of Jacob's descendants through Zilpah was 16. The sons of Jacob's wife Rachel were Joseph and Benjamin. Joseph's sons born in the land of Egypt were Manasseh and Ephraim. Their mother was Asenath, daughter of Potipherah, the priest of On. Benjamin's sons were Bela, Bekar, Ashbel, Gera, Naaman, Ehi, Rosh, Hupim, and Ard. These were the sons of Rachel and Jacob. The number of Jacob's descendants through Rachel was 14. The son of Dan was Hushin. The sons of Naphtali were Jazel, Gurney, Jezar, and Shelem. These were the sons of Bilhah, the servant given to Rachel by her father Laban. The number of Jacob's descendants through Bilhah was 7. The total number of Jacob's direct descendants who went with him to Egypt, now counting his sons' wives, was 66. In addition, Joseph had 2 sons who were born in Egypt. So altogether, there were 70 members of Jacob's family in the land of Egypt. 70. Okay? So that's not a whole lot. But from 70 come thousands and millions. Jacob's family arrives in Goshen. As they near their destination, Jacob sent Judah ahead to meet Joseph and give directions to the region of Goshen. And when they finally arrived there, Joseph prepared his chariot and traveled to Goshen to meet his father, Jacob. When Joseph arrived, he embraced his father and wept, holding him for a long time. Finally, Jacob said to Joseph, "Now I am ready to die, since I have seen your face again and know you are still alive." Wow, look at the joy. And Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's entire family, "I will go to Pharaoh and tell him, my brothers and my father's entire family have come to me from the land of Canaan. These men are shepherds and they raise livestock. They have brought with them their flocks and herds and everything they own." Then he said, "When Pharaoh calls for you and asks you about your occupation, you must tell him, 'We, your servants, have raised livestock all our lives, as our ancestors have always done.' When you tell him this, he will let you live here in the region of Goshen, for the Egyptians despise shepherds." Okay, so we see that God is still calling them to be separate. And Joseph understands this. You know, this is, he knows the will of God for them. That they are to be separate. They are not to intermingle, you know, with the Egyptians like that, you know, in their everyday lives. Because they don't want to be corrupted. God doesn't want them to be corrupted by the world, you know, by the Egyptian gods and all of that. And so he's calling them, even though he's bringing them to this place, he's calling them to live separate, to live in the blessed place. Remember, Goshen is the blessed place. And we will see further down the road when plagues come, you know, when God makes gives judgment on Pharaoh and Egypt, and how those things that come upon that land, it does not come upon Goshen, because Goshen has been set apart, right? God's people is set apart, and he's called them to live separately at this time so that he can show the difference. And when you think about that, that's true today. That's true for us. We are called out. We are called to be separate. We're set apart. We are set apart. I mean, it doesn't mean that we don't live among unbelievers, but we are to, but there should be a difference. Okay, there should be a difference in our lives and in how we live. Okay, we can go through the same things. You know, we can lose our job just like they lose their job. You know, we can get sick just like unbelievers get sick. But how do we respond in those situations? And do we expect God to move in those situations? Do we expect the word to come in and to manifest itself in those situations? We're set apart. You know, we're different. We're a holy nation, a chosen generation. Come on, somebody. We are God's very own elect. So, just like in Genesis, the first book of the Bible, right, it's still true for us today. It's we can glean so much from God's word, all of it, all of it. This is the first book of the Old Testament. Do you realize that some people, some Christians, don't even read the Old Testament anymore? You know, that's not for us today. I mean, when Jesus came, now we got a new covenant. We got a new book. That's true. But Jesus said out of his own mouth that he didn't come to abolish, you know, the law. He came to fulfill it. He didn't change anything. The Old Testament is so rich. You know, it's Jesus concealed, where the New Testament is Jesus revealed. And that's so true. So we need to glean every word, every lesson that God has for us throughout his wonderful word. You know, he gave it to us. It's a privilege to read his word and to learn from him and understand from him. And I promise you, every time you read it, you're going to get something new. If you read it with an open heart, and if you allow Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you. So again, we have learned from this chapter that we are called to be separate. There is a difference in the lives of the sons and daughters of God than of the sons and daughters of the world. And when I say the world, I mean the devil. I mean, because if you're not a son of God, then you're a son of the devil. There's no in between. There's no in between. You have to make a choice today. My goodness. My goodness. Come on. I hear you, Holy Ghost. We have to make a choice today. And it's a daily choice. It's not a daily choice of choosing Jesus. I mean, if you choose Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've confessed Him with your mouth and believe in your heart, you're saved. But it's a daily choice of obeying Him. It's a daily choice of living under the umbrella of God, under the umbrella of Christ. That's a daily choice. That's a moment-by-moment choice. If we're going to follow Holy Spirit's leading, or if we're going to follow our carnal nature, the world, the promptings of the enemy. So, okay, we're going to move on. But God is preaching to us today. He's letting us know some things. All right, so we got time to go on to the next chapter. Genesis 47, verse 1. Then Joseph went to see Pharaoh and told him, "My father and my brothers have arrived from the land of Canaan. They have come with all their flocks and herds and possessions, and they are now in the region of Goshen." Joseph took 5 of his brothers with him and presented them to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh asked the brothers, "What is your occupation?" They replied, "We, your servants, are shepherds, just like our ancestors. We have come to live here in Egypt for a while, and there is no pasture for our flocks in Canaan. The famine is very severe there. So please, we request permission to live in the region of Goshen." Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Now that your father and brothers have joined you here, choose any place in the entire land of Egypt for them to live." Look at that favor. "Give them the best land of Egypt. Let them live in the region of Goshen. And if any of them have special skills, put them in charge of my livestock too." Then Joseph brought in his father Jacob and presented him to Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. "How old are you?" Pharaoh asked him. Jacob replied, "I have traveled this earth for 130 hard years, but my life has been short compared to the lives of my ancestors." Then Jacob blessed Pharaoh again before leaving his court. So Joseph assigned the best land of Egypt, the region of Ramses, to his father and his brothers, and he settled them there, just as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph provided food for his father and his brother in amounts appropriate to the number of their dependents, including the smallest children. Look at the provision of God. Meanwhile, the famine became so severe that all the food was used up, and people were starving throughout the land of Egypt and Canaan. By selling grain to the people, Joseph eventually collected all the money in Egypt and Canaan, and he put the money in Pharaoh's treasury. When the people of Egypt and Canaan ran out of money, all the Egyptians came to Joseph. "Our money is gone," they cried. "But please give us food or we will die before your very eyes." So Joseph replied, "Since your money is gone, bring me your livestock. I will give you food in exchange for your livestock." So they brought their livestock to Joseph in exchange for food, in exchange for their horses, flocks of sheep and goats, herds of cattle and donkeys. Joseph provided them with food for another year. But that year ended. And the next year they came again and said, "We cannot hide the truth from you, my lord. Our money is gone. All our livestock and cattle are yours. We have nothing left to give but our bodies and our land. Why should we die before your very eyes? Buy us and our land in exchange for food. We offer our land and ourselves as slaves for Pharaoh. Just give us grain so we may live and not die, and so the land does not become empty and desolate." So Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. All the Egyptians sold them their fields because the famine was so severe. And soon all the land belonged to Pharaoh. As for the people, he made them all slaves from one end of Egypt to the other. The only land he did not buy was the land belonging to the priests. They received an allotment of food directly from Pharaoh, so they didn't need to sell their land. Then Joseph said to the people, "Look, today I have bought you and your land for Pharaoh. I will provide you with seed so you can plant the fields. Then when your harvest comes in, 1/5 of your crop will belong to Pharaoh. You may keep the remaining 4/5 as seed for your fields and as food for you and your households and your little ones." "You have saved our lives," they exclaimed. "May it please you, my Lord, to let us be Pharaoh's servants." So Joseph then issued a decree, still in effect in the land of Egypt, that Pharaoh should receive 1/5 of all the crops grown on his land. Only the land belonging to the priests was not given to Pharaoh. Meanwhile, the people of Israel settled in the region of Goshen in Egypt. There they acquired property, and they were fruitful, and their population grew rapidly. Look at this. Here's even a difference, right? The people of Egypt and Canaan, they're selling their land and their bodies to Pharaoh just to live. But God's people, the ones in Goshen, they're buying land, they're acquiring property, and they're being fruitful. In the midst of a famine, in the midst of a downturn, in the midst of economic catastrophe, God's people is prospering. Amen. So don't worry about the economy. Don't worry about what's going on in the world. Don't worry about the headline on the news. Okay? If you are God's property, if you are God's child, this doesn't have to affect you. God is your king. God is your ruler. God is in control of your life. God opens up the doors of blessing over you, not man. Hallelujah. Okay, so it says they acquired property and they were fruitful and their population grew rapidly. Jacob lived for 17 years after he arrived in Egypt. So he lived 147 years in all. And look at the mercy of God, giving him the love, grace and mercy of God, giving him time to enjoy his son again, to live happy, you know, to live fulfilled. So at the time of his death drew near, Jacob called to his son Joseph and said to him, "Please do me this favor. Put your hand under my thigh and swear that you will treat me with unfailing love by honoring this last request. Do not bury me in Egypt. When I die, please take my body out of Egypt and bury me with my ancestors." So Joseph promised, "I will do as you ask." "Swear that you will do it," Jacob insisted. So Joseph gave his oath, and Jacob bowed humbly at the head of his bed. Amen. And that is the end of chapter 47. Wow, what a beautiful time in the Word today. Man, what beautiful, wonderful, hopeful, and inspiring messages God gave us today that were just buried in His Word, that were not really hidden. All it takes is for you to read with the Holy Ghost leading you, with an open heart and an open mind, an open spirit. Wow. So I think the big takeaway from today is knowing that we're separate. Is knowing that we have a separate government, a separate economy, a separate kingdom, where God, creator of all, is our king. He allows, he opens doors, he shuts doors, he runs our economy, he runs our kingdom. And what is his desire for us? That we live abundantly. As we follow him, as we obey him, as we lead others to him, as we show his glory, as we become a praise to him, that he is taking care of everything else for us. We don't have to worry. We don't have to struggle. We don't have to fight. No. All we have to do, I remember from our last chapters, where he told us to relax. In this chapter, he's telling us why. Because he's got this. We're separate. We're separate. Things that are happening out in the world, although we are in the world, we're not of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. He is good. He is so worthy to be praised. And I for one, I am so thankful and grateful that he called me. Amen. That I received the gift. And I know that's the same for you today. We are blessed people. Hallelujah. So, whoo, my goodness, we're in cool down. This went fast today. I'm working up a sweat. Hallelujah. So we are transforming our bodies as we transform our minds with the word of God. Listen, be blessed. Understand that you are blessed. You are blessed coming in and you are blessed coming out. You are called of God with a purpose. He has a plan for your life. So just ask him. If you don't know what it is, ask him. If you don't know what season you're in, ask him. Ask him. And just go where he tells you to go, because if you're doing that, you're in Goshen. No matter where you are in Goshen. If you are following your daddy, if you are honoring your Lord and Savior, if you are desiring to obey him, seeking to follow him, you're in Goshen today. No matter what else is going on around you, there is a border. There is a border around you, around your family, around your possessions. There is a border around you that separates your land from the rest. You are in Goshen. So walk like it today. Live like it today. Expect the blessing of God. Make sacrifices to him. Sacrifice of prayer. Sacrifice of reading his word. Sacrifice of loving the unlovable. Sacrifice of giving. Make sacrifices today to honor your God and Savior. And live in Goshen. People, know where you are. You're in Goshen. And you'll walk different. You'll look different. You'll live different. Amen. God bless you and have a wonderful rest of day.